Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast, a podcast where I get business owners on to talk about their motivation, inspiration, successes and challenges they face in business. We'll provide some valuable and inspiring content for those that are in business or for those that are aspiring to start their business journey. Enjoy the episode. Hi everyone, just before I start the episode, usual introduction about my guest and what you're going to get from the podcast. So Tina DeLue from Coaching Dynamics, she's a lovely lady, very kind, caring, but really positive and optimistic. She's been in business years and she shares loads of great advice in this episode, just things around knowing your numbers and breaking down your business, understanding the strategy, goal setting and prioritizing those tasks. Self-development and learning, the importance around building relationships over selling, and how that approach has held her in really good stead. But it's really practical. You can get lots from this episode, and I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. This will be the last episode now before Christmas, so just want to wish everyone listening a happy Christmas. Hope you have an amazing few days with family and friends, and look forward to releasing the next episode after Christmas. So yeah, episode coming up now. Hope you all enjoy it. Hi, podcast community. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm joined with Tina DeLue. Tina, thanks so much for coming on. So Tina is from Coaching Dynamics Limited, and best to describe Tina is just really a real entrepreneur, businesswoman that you've done so much in business and work along, you know, you has a lot of different businesses and it's been in it a long time. So yeah. Learned some really good stuff along the way and your journey is going to be really good to share. So Tina, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Obviously you. Other things, your wife, mother, grandmother.
Yeah, so yes.
They're obviously lovely jobs that you love doing. And so yeah, exactly, yes, as well as your business side of things. So look, yeah, Tina, thanks for coming on. Is there anything else you want to add before we get into the podcast?
No, not really. I'm sure it will come out as we're chatting. Yes.
Great. So what was your first job after college, school, uni?
I went to the BBC after school. When I was 16, I wanted to go and work for the BBC. I wanted to be a producer's assistant. So I wrote to them. I was doing maths A-levels. And do you know what they told me, Oliver? We need you to do a secretarial course because ladies are only permitted entry as secretaries.
Is that what they said? And what was your response?
I did a secretarial course.
Yeah. So you wanted to get into it. Yeah.
So I went to work for them and I was there about 18 months. But they told me for 5 years I would have to be a secretary before I could move into production where I really wanted to go. So I thought it was time to leave. Yeah. And I went to Capital Radio and I worked there for a year or so. That was the days of Kenny Everett, Michael Aspel, Graham Dean.
Good days. And what was your role there? Sorry.
I was in the commercial production. Yeah. So we recorded the advertisements. They wrote and recorded the advertisements.
Yeah.
I was actually in one. I was Tiny Tim in a Christmas advert.
Really?
Yes.
Has it ever been recycled and come back?
I've not heard it for many a year. But yes, that was quite good fun. Claim to fame.
Yeah, love it. Brilliant.
Yes. And then I went into the corporate world for a while. And then in those days, realised that if I wanted to get further in what was a man's world, I really needed a degree. So I went and did a degree at the age of 23 and I became a mathematics teacher. And I was a maths teacher for 12 years, full time at one point and then part time when the children came along. So
that's amazing. So then mid 30s, yes. Thinking you stopped teaching.
It was early 30s I stopped teaching.
Okay. So you almost had two careers because obviously the career now of business as an entrepreneur and where you are.
Yes. Well, it was mid-30s. Sorry, my children came. Yeah. Then I went part-time. So, yes.
So what time did you finish teaching? And then at what point?
Yeah.
Do you remember the point when it was like, you know what? I want to get back in. I want to get into business. I want to run my own business. Did you remember the point happened?
Exactly the point. I have two children, my son Richard and my daughter Marie. And my son was 8 and he was very good at maths. And I was teaching evening classes at Epping Forest College, and he understood the work, and I knew I had to find something for him. And I came across something called Kumon, and Kumon, K-U-M-O-N, is a Japanese way of teaching mathematics. And there were centres, and I went to see a centre, and it was fantastic. The children do little and often work. And so I contacted Kumon and I said, I'd like to open a centre, please, in Onga. So I went along to see them and I did all their tests. And every centre was its own business. So they said to me, in a small place like Onga in Essex, you will only get about 30 students. And I thought, oh, that's a classroom full. Actually, it grew to about 120 students.
Wow.
In that time, I ran it for 10 years until I sold it. And it was fantastic for my children and for many children in Onga.
Wow.
It was where I learned coalface, Oliver, how to run a business and how to understand marketing, finance, employing people, training them, bringing in business, retaining the students, pleasing the parents, all of the things that go with running that kind of business. And it was a key thing in the community of Onga for 10 years. And I'm really proud of that.
You should be proud. I didn't realise that's amazing. Obviously, you've sent me a note that I'm aware of, but that's such a, so you're proud of. So that experience and development work, would you say it sort of shaped you in business? Is that the spearhead for what you're doing now?
It is. I mean,
the stuff you took away from it and learned.
Absolutely. It was really, it gave me the platform on which to then, when I moved on to the next part of my career, to have that experience to share. Because I think that when you're working with business owners and you're empathizing with them because you understand their challenges, their pains, their successes, that really, really helps because you can bring a perspective to it that people who haven't run a business wouldn't understand. Because it is very different from the corporate world to running a business of your own.
Yeah. So would you say it's probably your biggest business success to date, or is there any other successes that stand out to you?
Well, there are two, I think, that stand out for me. Because after I did sold Kumon, I trained then for a year to do corporate and executive coaching and management training, which I've been doing now for the last 12 years, plus other things, because you have to continue to evolve and
100%,
grow.
100%, yeah.
And there are two successes, I would say, one in Kumon and one in with the coaching dynamics. And the one with Kumon was to do with one of my students. And his name, his name was Yogan. What is Yogan? And he was a special little boy. He was six when he came to me, and he had leukemia. And he was an amazing child. He used to do his Kumon every day. You have to do it every day, little and often. And when he was 14, I entered him for the Student of the Year competition, and he won out of 55,000 students. And we went on the stage at Warwick University, where he was presented with this fantastic trophy. And he told the audience how every day I used to write little notes for him, and he'd read those notes. And it was what made him do his Kumon every day.
That's amazing.
And, he got a roaring standing ovation. And, that was a really special moment.
Obviously, we've known each other a few years. And actually, it's nice to reconnect today, because we've spoke but haven't seen each other a few years.
No.
But something that's always struck me about is how you talk about empathy, but how sort of compassionate, kind, actually genuine, really nice person. You saying that story and being like that, do you think that's one of your, if you're going to say, look, you need some attributes to be kind, be nice and be like that as a person is really important in business?
Well, I think for me it is because I think it's who I am. It's who I've always been. And I think you need to be true to yourself. Yeah. I've never tried to be anyone else or anything else other than who I am.
Yeah.
And people will choose to be connected with me or work with me for that reason. And I just think that's really important. It's been important for me in my life. And it's I like to be who I am. And
of course.
I'm a giver in life, I would say. And I enjoy being a giver in life.
Yeah, of course. Mm. So amazing success. So the two successes, Cumon, you've mentioned about, and obviously with this boy, I was going to try and say the name again, but
Yogan,
that's it. But that's what an amazing story and how proud you must have been.
So the coaching dynamics one, if you'd like to.
Yes, that's what I was going to go into. Yes, sure. That's what I wanted to was back to literally ask. So from there, how have you led into Coaching Dynamics Limited where you are now?
Yes, I got to the point with Cumon, remembering that I originally started it from my son and my daughter. When my son was going off to university to study financial economics, I just felt that the time was right. My daughter was going to go to dance college because she's a trained professional dancer. And it just felt the right time to move on for me. And I think I've kind of moved on about every decade in my career when I look back now. And it was time to move on. And I think that when you've achieved your goals and your passion maybe isn't quite as much as it used to be, it's time to find new horizons, new passions, and move on. And that's what I did. So I went on a weekend with a coaching academy, which was about personal coaching. And they did a little bit about business coaching. And the business coaching sparked my interest and my passion because I think because I have this mathematical core that runs through me, I like the challenge of anything that is logical, strategic, where you have to apply problem solving, all of those things, I guess, that are linked with mathematics. And then I went on holiday, and when I came back, the Coaching Academy were offering scholarships for their business coaching course. Well, it was corporate and executive coaching then. And I won one of them. So I studied with them for a year.
Wow.
I sold Cumon, and the children cried, parents cried, I cried. But it was the right thing to do. So I studied for a year. And then I launched Coaching Dynamics, which, starting as a business coach with experience. During my course, I had to coach 6 business owners. And I went to the Cumon parents because many Cumon parents have businesses. And so I easily found my 6 people. Some of those became my clients afterwards, paying clients after the program. And then I went and joined BNI in London. And that's where I started my journey, really.
Yeah, because I think as well, it was to have, you've gone to clients, and this is a great part of development, and I want to know your thoughts on this. I heard someone say something recently about if you're new to the game, it's one of the things that I like to find out about what advice you give for someone starting out in business or wanting to get into your industry. And I heard someone say something the other day, find someone who's in a better position than you in where you want to get to as a young person trying to get into business, and go and work for free.
Mm.
Go and work for free for 90 days, 120 days, 6 months, and just say to her, I don't want to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
I will literally be your best worker. I will do everything at the end of it.
Mm.
But all I want in return is I can learn as much as I can from the business. So some people say, I'm not going to get my time for free. So my point is, you saying you got the 6 parents and stuff, having a year-long course, although that was structured, that year-long of development, having six businessmen around, business people around you, was great for your development. So do you think there's value in that? Would you say,
advice
to someone, get out there and learn from however people you can?
Mm. In fact, I did exactly that. When I wanted my business in London, it changed after a while. But I did exactly that. I offered a 3-month business coaching program to a business owner in London that I knew, and with the only proviso that if they were happy with the work that I did, that they gave me a testimonial. And I lived off that testimonial for quite some time.
Of course you did.
And then the work just started coming in. And then I transferred my work to Essex. I had clients in Essex, and I transferred to BNI in Essex. And I was there for 6.5 years.
And did you find the power of networking really good?
I did, actually. Any business, any person that wants to develop their business should go networking. I did all kinds of networking. Being on the networking circuit, getting known by people, connecting with people, learning from them, understanding what they do, offering advice, anything that can help will then help people understand who you are, what attributes you have, and what you can offer them. I've never been an overt salesperson. That's not the way I do things. It is about building relationships, and all of my work, Oliver, comes through recommendations or past clients. All of it.
Yeah.
Through people I know.
Yeah.
And you know,
and that's fantastic.
It is, and it builds up after time. You have to get yourself known for who you are, and you know, people do like you for that.
Yeah, of course. So referrals hugely important. Mm. You know, you providing real value and, you know, providing real value and doing great work within your industry is really yes. important. Today, now in the world where it's very digital focus, there's a lot of social media becomes hugely important stuff. Where are you at now? I mean, obviously you've established yourself as a really good business coach in your business, so you have the credibility behind you. But where do you see like social media and digital age and using the platforms for people to develop and grow a network and market themselves? Yes. I mean, do you think it's important now or?
Yes, I do. It's changed. It's changed over the years hugely. And I think one of the things with people that stay successful in business is they have to move with the times.
Yep.
Because if you don't move with the times, you get left behind.
Yep.
So I'm involved in social media. I'm on LinkedIn and, you know, I post regularly. I interact with people regularly. I have some views on how people use something like LinkedIn. I'm not a great believer in people connecting with you and then immediately trying to sell with you to you. It's all about building relationships and everything is building relationships. I mean, social media has the word social in it, and it is about connecting with people and talking to people and offering help and, giving the benefit of your experience. And that's how you build a network. That's
100%. It's funny, I probably made a mistake early on, you know, where I mean, now for me, if I'm providing, using social platforms to provide as much value as I can, so literally probably 90% of my content is to provide value, connecting with people and chatting and actually not being too quick. You know, people can inquire if they want to, but not worrying about it. And, early days, you probably sent a message, this is what we do. And you realise now when, you get so many DMs on LinkedIn, don't you, about offer this service, offer that service, you don't even know them. And you're like, really?
Why would you do that?
You think, God, so that's what you think about it. Okay, right. So you don't.
Well, it's a bit like, I think it's a bit like if you were at a networking event and somebody came up to you and put their card in your hand and said, book a 15-minute call with me. I'm going to change your life or you need my help. You know, you would look at them, with surprise.
Yeah.
So why is that any different?
That's quite good, actually.
Yeah.
View the connections you're making with people online as if you were meeting them face to face and treating that way. I think it's really valuable. Something which you mentioned a few minutes back was that continue to evolve, that you've had to do that in business. Gary is a previous guest. You know, Gary, you work with him and stuff, and he spoke about constant learning, development, and he's been in business 40 years. What things does Tina do to evolve, or do you still continue for your own self-development and your own business?
Yes, I think it's just being aware of what's out there all of the time. This is where social media can be helpful. If I see a course I think is important, I will go on it and connect with other people. I read a lot. I listen to a lot of audio books in my car because I do a lot of driving, going from client to client. And I would say the most self-learning I do is listening to books in my car. It's like a little university going along there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how do you retain information? Because obviously you're absorbing the knowledge. Yes. I mean, is it how do you, to make that practical, to embed? Is it just embed in you, or do you have to find, you have to do action it? Or is there any way for you to make that knowledge into?
Yes, I'm an auditory person, which means that I take information in by hearing best. And so that's why I enjoy listening to books. And I'm very good at retaining conversations too. I remember what people say. And so listening to books is good for me. And if there is a particular book that has appealed to me enormously, I might then order it. If there's something I want to read again or read or take out of it, if there are, you know, if there's examples in there, for example, or templates or something like that.
So what type of audiobooks do you, what have been your best top three or four books you listen to if you're thinking business stuff, things that you could... Thinking, I like audiobooks as well, Tina. Yes. I'm going to find the ones you like.
There are lots. So I would think The E-Myth is a good one.
Yeah.
E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that anybody who is thinking of starting a business read it or listen to it because it's extremely good. A recent one I listened to actually was Michelle Obama's Becoming, which was, I thought, was an amazing book. It took me on an emotional journey, and I really enjoyed that.
It's a quite inspiring book.
Yes, inspiring. Her whole journey of where she started to how she became First Lady and the struggles and just the person. I just thought it was an amazing book. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I've listened to hundreds, so it's really difficult, I would say, to pinpoint.
What we can do anyway, I always leave stuff in the show notes.
Mm.
So by the time this comes out, if you think of Ollie, right, here's three books or audio books to listen to, you can send them to me and I'll show them in the show notes. Okay. So we spoke some really good successes, and what I love about your journey is the constant, where you are constantly developing and the growth you've had in business and what you learn, and then obviously selling a business, going to the next one and moving on. What challenges have you had? Any failures you can share? Because I do think from failures or challenges, we do grow and get better.
Yes.
So is there anything you've had that stands out that's led you to be at a better place now?
Well, I think I'm an optimistic person to start with. And so I never particularly think that I'm not going to succeed in something. So I go into it with the idea that I am going to succeed. And it's the thought process that is really important and the planning that goes into that to make it successful. I can't think of any huge, huge failures in my business career. There have been some that didn't work out quite as well as I would have liked. And but then when I think once I've realised that, I've thought, okay, it's time to change direction. This isn't quite working how I would like it to work. So I need to do something about it. I've never been in debt with business. I've never been in a position where I've owed people lots of money and, you know, been in a bad situation. And I think that is to do with constantly reviewing, having a vision of where I want to go, setting goals constantly, because that's the kind of work that I help my clients do.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the key things that I do with them is create a 3-year strategic business plan and vision on a page. It's called an orbit. And this is very important because even though we don't know what's going to happen in the future, you set your sights, you set your dreams and your goals, and you head for it. It's like putting your sat nav on. You know, you head for it, you go for it. And you take steps along the way to ensure that you're going in that right direction. And if you're not, you need to reassess and replan and rethink. And, you know, this is where I think it's important to have people around you who have knowledge, like a good business coach, like a good accountant, like a good legal advisor, all of those people, or, you know, people that you meet, even networking, that can advise and help you with ideas, because it's very difficult to do something alone and think that you're just going to conquer the world on your own without anybody's help. It just, you know, just doesn't happen. It can be a very lonely place being a business owner.
Top business people have people around them and a team around them. It's never done on their own. Can we just explore the orbit? You said this, the orbit page a little bit more, because everyone listening will think, well, that's really great. And, you know, I'm a huge one about having a vision, having goals in place to get your vision. So any up to five maybe tips how the orbit works, people maybe take away that they could apply, you know, take away today, you know, in terms of how to set goals, making sure achieving them. You spoke about reviewing, which I think is hugely important. So
I need to explain where the orbit came from. So there was a government initiative called Growth Accelerator, which ran for 3.5 years, which was co-funded to help business owners grow. And I was a growth coach and management trainer associated with Growth Accelerator. And the Orbit was one of their ideas that we used in order to grow. I took it to the next level, I have to say, I think, because my Orbits are pretty spectacular when they're done. They're, you know, people put them up on their walls. And it looks like a dartboard. And you have on it four circles. And it's a current year, year one, year two, year three. Around the outside is on the axis, different areas of your business. So all the financials, the marketing, what I call the blend, excuse me, the blend of business. So the blend of business is a good tip. One of the five I would say to think about is the blend of business is how is your business made up? So if, for example, I were to give my own blend of business, I have several things in it. So I would have a business growth coaching, I'd have management training, I'd have dispersonality profiling in there, and I'd have R&D strategy. So they are my four business blends. So if I were to assess how my business is going and how I plan it over the next years, what percentage of my business do I want for each bit of that blend? So the more you can define what your blend is, the clearer you are about the direction that your business is going in.
Yeah.
Because when you are growing a business, it doesn't just grow on sales. People think sales is everything, but it isn't everything. It is an element that is supported by your organizational structure, the finance, you know, can you afford this? Where is your money coming from? Are you being profitable? How are you reinvesting? How are you marketing yourself? Or so many other things, your systems, your IT, all of those things have to be balanced well, Oliver, for your business to grow sustainably.
Yeah.
And when you have that balance clear, and when you're considering every element of it, then it grows sustainably. Because what people don't want is fast growth for your business to shoot up. And then when you get to the point of high demand, that you can't sustain that.
Yep.
And your business falls. Yep. Or you make a big investment that then can't be sustained and it drops.
Yeah.
So part of that strategy and growth and vision and goal setting is all about being realistic and reassessing along the way. So once you've set that plan, you stretch yourself, of course, because if you don't stretch yourself, you know, you'll know this in fitness. You have to push yourself, don't you? You have to stretch yourself.
100%. Well, I was going to say that actually, and this would be a good part for it, Cal, would be you saying that approach, scaling quickly, not having the infrastructure to be able to sustain it.
Yes.
It's the same with achieving results and the people approach their lifestyle. People look for these quick fixes.
Yes.
So they go very extreme to make a change.
Mm.
But unfortunately, when you're going too extreme, you can't sustain that and keep it up.
No.
So unfortunately, where if in your position, someone grows quickly, then the business falls because they haven't got an infrastructure and sustainability in place. Mm. It's the same with people's lifestyle. They'll get super fit very quickly through being completely perfect and extreme with their diet and their training.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they hit that result, they can't sustain it after that. It's too extreme. There's no plan in place. You need so that small growth steps is much better than that quick getting there
it
quick.
Is. Yes.
Because you need a plan to get there, and you need a plan to allow you to keep growing and sustain it as well.
You do.
You saying that, actually, we can make that really relevant into lifestyle. That's how I educate clients.
Yes.
Because they've got to approach in the same way.
You have. And, you know, fitness and nutrition, I'm a big fan of nutrition, it is something that you have to continue. You have to make it a lifestyle habit.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't become a lifestyle habit, it's like these yo-yo diets, isn't it? You know, where people go on these diets, they lose a lot of weight and then they put it all back on again.
Yeah.
It's because what they haven't changed is their lifestyle habit to eat in a particular way, to exercise in a particular way. And, you know, it's the same correlation with you, with a business too.
Great, Tina. So we've got, so that's a really good tip there. Any other ones you've got or anything you want to add onto the orbit? You started to go into detail around the outside,
yes,
and you're
obviously
creating the four areas of your business. Actually, one thing I wanted to ask you, for you, you said you've got four areas and it's not necessarily just done on sales, but if you've got pillars to your business, like you say you have, when you set it up in a way, if you find that you're putting a lot of hours in and you're not getting much return, is that when you realise that maybe that's not a part of the business to run? So does that help the self-awareness and that decision actually to go, yeah, this is a great idea, but it's not working?
Yes, I think anybody starting a business, there's no doubt that you put a lot of hours in. Lots and lots of hours, you know, many burning the midnight oils, waking up in the middle of the night, wondering if you've done the right thing. And
we've all been there.
Yes, we've all been there. And, you know, I'm no exception to that. But it is the way that you deal with that. You know, having run businesses for 22 years and having been employed for many years before that, I never, ever have regretted my decision to be a business owner. I love the independence. I love being master of my own fate.
Of course.
I love that the successes and, you know, some cases failures are, you know, are down to me. And that if I'm in a hole, I have to dig myself out of it. And if I achieve a fantastic success, then that's down to me too. It was one of my highlights was being winning by my own profession International Business Coach of the Year in 2015.
Wow, what a
treatment. And I was really proud of that. And my family all came too to the ceremony, and it was an accolade, I felt, to me that my own profession had recognised me for that.
100%. That's amazing. So, absolutely fantastic. So yeah, so that's that. Any other practical stuff you want to speak?
Practical stuff, yes.
That you were saying, you know, around.
Yes, around business. So
yeah, around the business. You mentioned obviously around the orbit. You mentioned that, and someone actually being aware of the areas of their work. And
I mean, business, as I said, the orbit, vision and goals, strategy. Yeah. I also think being aware of where your business is at any one time. So we have facilities now, such as online banking, digital accountancy stuff. I personally use Xero. Every day I will at least view, two or three times a week, I will be viewing where my bank account is, where my Xero is, what money is owed to me, any money that I owe to other people. And I've always been really good at paying my bills almost immediately. I like to do that as a personal thing that I like to do, because I like to see exactly where I am, understanding what is profitable in your business and what isn't. Because you can spend a lot of time on things that you think are great, but if at the end of the day it's not being profitable, then you have to change that, because business is about profit. And profit is not a dirty word. If you don't make a profit, you cannot sustain your business. You cannot employ people. You cannot grow. So understanding where your business is at any one time, there's no excuse from a financial point of view.
It's huge.
Not to know that these days.
If it's not working, you need to change it. Yeah, it's a really good thing. Yeah, this on like cloud software, it's evolved so much now, hasn't it?
It has.
Something like Xero.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I think Xero, because and I suppose for you, you didn't have Xero went around when you first started business.
That's
it's quite only a few years in, isn't it now?
So. It is. So when I first started, I used to keep a ledger book, and as I said, I'm mathematical anyway, so I really and I'm quite a neat person. I like to have
that's
things.
the maths in the organized.
No.
Yeah, just slide it down if you want to go portrait. Just put it down and you'll see it. Just easy. Sorry. So, are you done it? I've done it. Cool. Yeah, go on the Ollie Burquist one. No, and I think that's the maths in using it, that systemized.
Yes, doing it right.
Yeah.
And so I used to, you know, keep it in a book, and it would be part of my routine to do that.
Yeah.
And I would also say, you know, another good tip is to be organized, have some systems in place, have processes in place, plan your day and your time, and try and make as much of your time as you can, because, you know, every minute that you waste procrastinating over what you should do next, or waste time doing the little things when you've got the big things that you know you need to do.
So how does Tina organise her? What's your daily habits look like, Tina? What do you do to stay organised, to make sure you're planned?
Yes.
What things do you do?
Well, I have something called a to-do book, which is I wrote it, I made it for myself, but lots of my clients use it, which is a book that has, what's it? It's just columns with to-do. And there's a priority column, there's the task, and then there's either the carried forward, done, or started and done. And so at the end of each day, I write down all of the things I need to do for the next day. And I tick off the things that I've done or the things that I've started. And every time something comes into my head that I need to do, or a response I need to make to someone, I put it in my to-do book, so that I don't have to carry it around in my head all the time. Because there's so many things going on in my life, Olive. I can't carry it all around in my head.
But this is where, if you get it out of your head space, it works really well. Because I actually think, and people go, I haven't got time to write down, but, you know, I journal and I stuff. But what I find is, by spending 10, 15, 20, whatever it is, 20 minutes a day, like you say, reviewing stuff in the day, making sure you run at your targets, but actually at 15, 20 minutes, I think can make us much more productive.
Yes.
Spend a little bit of time just taking out to do that, because it clears the headspace, gives you clear directions, so you can be more efficient with your time, and clear your headspace to maybe get creative, new ideas come into you when you're not having this decision fatigue, thinking what you've got to do. I mean, do you find that?
For me. And also, I personally need thinking time. You have to take time out to think. If you're forever...
Would you schedule that out then, Tina? Do you like block it out, right, thinking time, and just sort of sit there, or is it as and when it comes to you?
Well, I think I do a lot of my thinking when I'm driving. If I'm not listening to an audio book, which I said before, I do a lot of my thinking when I'm driving. Or I do a lot of my thinking when I'm doing other things, you know, maybe cooking the dinner or going out for a walk. I like to go out for a walk. So if I'm stuck with something, I often take myself out for a walk. I'm very fortunate to where I live. I just go down the end of the road and I'm in the beautiful countryside, and I can walk for miles and miles and perhaps not see another person. And so I will often take myself out for that walk and clear my head and think about things. And often by the time I've got back, that issue has resolved itself, or I've got a clear idea of what to do. And this was something I learned in a smaller way when I was teaching mathematics, because when I came to teaching the higher level students, and we were in the classroom, sometimes one of the students would ask a challenging question, you know, a question that would challenge my thought process on how to explain to this person, you know, the answer to their question. And if I didn't know immediately, I would say, that's a really good question. Why doesn't everybody just think about that for a moment and let's see if we can get some answers? And while I gave them that minute to think, I would walk around the classroom, round the back to the front. And by the time I got to the front of the classroom, I had the answer in my head.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And I needed that for thinking
time. So actually giving yourself 60 seconds, 90 seconds of thinking time can really help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas if sometimes you just automatically answer something, then you haven't given yourself that thinking time.
So daily habits that you do, so you've got this to-do list that you write out. Is there anything else? So you spoke about obviously walking, so actually that could come under meditating and actually some relaxation time for you. Anything else that Tina does that helps Tina perform?
I just think, you know, as I said, being organised, allocating time to my clients when I need to. You know, a lot of my time, none of my 2 days are the same, Oliver, because I see lots of different clients doing different things. You know, I'm either doing the business coaching, or I'm doing management training. So I've got quite a few companies where I teach their senior management team of up to 20 people. techniques in management and how to be leaders. So that's another element. Sometimes I'm working on R&D strategy with clients to help them claim their tax credits and lots of things.
Yeah, can I ask you something too? Because you said about, for you, making sure you're doing the big, important tasks.
Yes.
How do you make sure they get done and you're not firefighting with the little tasks because they're easier? How do you structure that?
Do you remember I said on my to-do list there was a column that says priority? Yeah. When I've written them all down, I number them in order of priority to do them.
And so number one's top priority and that gets done before you move to number two.
Even if it's the hardest thing. And actually, trying to do the hardest thing first is really a good tip because then you get it out of the way instead of leaving it to last and then it sits and
croaks. Yeah, and then you're running out of time and it's a little bit tired because the day's got away from you.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a great little book by Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy, I think I've learned so much from him over the years. He's worth looking up. And he wrote this super little book called Eat That Frog. And Eat That Frog is all about to do with time management. And it's the frog that sits on your shoulder and croaks at you the thing that you're procrastinating about. You know, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. When are you going to do it? And so if you can get up and eat that frog and do it first, then it's done for the day.
Yeah.
And
maybe I'll look at that as the next book.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
I'm halfway through a book at the moment.
It doesn't take long to read. You can read it in an afternoon.
So do you have any personal heroes anyone that inspires you, anyone that you've learnt from over the years?
Yes.
And why you hold them in high regard?
Well, my two personal heroes, and I have somebody else that I really have admired, but my two personal heroes were undoubtedly my parents. My parents, sadly, are no longer with us, but they taught me so much. My mum, she was sadly ill quite a lot of her adult life, and she had 12 major operations. But that lady, she never stopped smiling. She never stopped greeting people in a happy way and being positive. Her will to survive and her vision to see her life through was incredible. And she used to say to me when I was a little girl, Tina, there's no such word as can't. If you want to find a way to do something, you will. And I have to say, I've lived my life by that. And I think that has added to my optimism. If I want something badly enough, I will find a way to do it.
Yeah, amazing. But this positive optimism you have. And actually, you know, I've got young children and stuff, and I think, you've got to be a role model for your children. Yes. You know, it's so important. You set the example we set our children is huge.
Yes, it is.
So that's,
that's my mum. Yeah. And then my dad, you mentioned earlier about being the kind of person that cares and is giving. And that's part of my nature. And that definitely comes from my dad. My dad would have given you his last penny. And he taught me humility. He taught me to respect others. And he used to say to me, whatever position a person has in life, whatever their station, as it were, they are all human beings and they are all deserving of respect. They all have something going on in their lives. And you have to appreciate that. There's no one person that is above anybody else. And again, that's carried me through my life. And I would like to think that I'm always respectful of people. I always listen to them. I always try as best I can to see their point of view. And so, you know, my parents, although not with me, they are my role models. They're in my head every day.
Inspiring.
And I owe everything to them.
Yeah, really inspiring. So, like, what advice would you, I mean, we've covered quite a bit at the start. Is there any advice you'd give to someone starting a business or in your industry, extra advice? I mean, we have covered quite a bit.
Yes. Well, as I say, I think the main things are is to try and have a vision for yourself and your goals. Surround yourself by good professionals that will help you without thinking that you're going to do it alone. Educate yourself. Make sure you have finance. I've sadly seen so many businesses start up who have some great ideas and we put some great plans in place and then they do not have the finance to carry it through. And if you don't have the finance to carry it through, then you can't go anywhere. And so being aware and doing your sums in advance of what something is going to cost you. So, for example, let's take your business. I've just looked at your gym in there, which is absolutely fantastic. It's full of super equipment that looks new and it's shiny and it's just in a beautiful environment. That would have cost you a significant investment, I would imagine. And that would have had to have featured into where you are going with that business. If you had all that vision, but then you had no way of getting the finance to build that gym, how were you ever going to get your clients?
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of people fall down in their planning, is that they haven't thought carefully enough about how they're going to fund it. They haven't thought carefully enough about what their break even is. And what I mean about break even is, what is your business going to cost you to run? So that means if you have premises, if you have staff, if you have equipment, even your IT stuff that you need, all of those things that you are going to need to set you up, what is that going to cost? And then what are you going to charge your clients for your services or your products in order to recoup that money back in a specific amount of time? And if you're not clear about that, then you're in danger of going under very quickly. And if you're not on top of the finances and understanding it and planning for that, then you're in danger. And this is where, I mean, we've seen some huge companies in recent times go into administration, which is really sad.
Yeah, of course.
And they would have known for a long, long time that they were going down the pan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And what did they do to change direction? Not enough. Otherwise, yeah, they wouldn't have found themselves in, yeah, that situation.
Do you have any words you live by? Any top quotes? Is there anything?
Oh, yes. Yes. The one I love is, if you meet someone without a smile, give them one of yours.
Love it.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. Because, you know, we have to be optimistic, realistic.
Usually, yeah, I get it.
Realistic, but optimistic. And smiling has this wonderful effect of raising endorphins. So if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, my mum was another one who used to tell me this, because she said to me when she was feeling really poorly, she would take herself into the bathroom, she'd look in the mirror and she would smile at herself and think of all lovely things and lovely people and how fortunate she was. And I just very much agree with that. And I do it myself.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm feeling glum, I take myself into the bathroom and I smile at myself and think of all lovely things.
And then probably you think, yes, your mum as well, and then you're thinking great stuff like, yes, that, and then you're, yes, back in the game.
Yes.
No, great. Love that quote. Tina, it's been great catching up. Is there, obviously, people are going to want to connect with you and stuff. You mentioned, yes, LinkedIn. I'd love to hear, have you got anything you've got going on at the moment? So if you've got anything you can share you've got going on at the moment.
Yes.
And if you've got, and how people can connect with you.
Yes.
If you could share. Again, I'll leave it in the notes.
Okay,
anyway.
Surely. I mean, we spoke about evolving, and one of the areas I would just quickly like to mention
that's, please, been an, yes,
a big evolvement for me, and I mentioned it briefly, is R&D strategy, research, yep, and development strategy, because there are many, many businesses out there that are applicable to claim tax refunds and reduce their corporation tax by understanding R&D strategy. And anybody would like to know more about that, please, please do contact me, because many companies think, oh, well, it's just what I do. But I've helped companies in total got back about £2.5 million over the last few years.
What industries is this? Is it?
It's most industries, but mainly if you're involved in manufacturing, engineering, where you're innovating. I do a lot for building companies as well. Any companies where you've had to think differently outside the box, you've had to overcome technical or scientific uncertainties. I've got pharmaceutical, architecture, all of those sorts of things. But if you've had to do something that where you've invested money in your business and you've had to overcome a challenge that has had a positive effect on your business and on the outside world, increase the carbon footprint, help the carbon footprint, for example. Anything like that, anything innovative, is probably R&D. And it costs nothing to ask me the questions.
Yeah, so great. So I think people listening in R&D, yes, they can get in touch with that.
Yes.
And how's best for them to get in touch with you?
Best, you can contact me through my website, which is coachingdynamics.co.uk, and my email, which is tina@coachingdynamics.co.uk.
Yeah.
You can find me on LinkedIn, Tina Delu. You'll find me there. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. My details are on my website, so it's probably the best place to find out everything you want to know about Tina Delu. And Coaching Dynamics is on coachingdynamics.co.uk.
Great. And I think anyone listening, like that, Tina, you're such a nice person, so keen to help, and your years in business and your experience, you spoke about the learning you've done and getting your qualifications and the year course you did and six business owners you got onto your studies, but actually your years of experience probably far outweighs all of the learning and development you've done along the way. So, yeah, I think if anyone's interested in that type of stuff, you must get in contact with you. I will leave it in the show notes.
Thank you.
And just from my perspective, thanks so much for coming on.
Pleasure. You've
been
thank
a great
you for
guest.
Inviting me.
And anyone who's watched on Instagram, I've had Tina Delu on my Brain Born a Business podcast, sharing some great stuff. And the episode will come out in a couple of weeks. But thanks to anyone that did check in. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please share it with anyone else you think that might get value. And if you can leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. It will just help us to reach more people with the podcast. If you want to get the episodes as soon as they're released, then just subscribe to the podcast. And as soon as they get released, you'll get a notification on the podcast platform you use. Once again, thanks to everyone for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me at any time, then just drop me a message on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez. Be great to connect and have a chat with you.